And welcome to another episode of Knights at the Round Table. It's your boy, Man Wheezy. I hope you are doing well. I hope this finds you well. Over here, we got Boobies.
Hi.
We got Queen.
Hello.
We got Be Real.
Yep.
And we are feeling pretty good today.
Pretty good.
Bobisa's parents just left, and we always feel like our love tanks are full when they're around.
Aww. It's always great to have mom and dad.
He did a good sermon today, and we were super blessed at church, so it was cool. But hey, onward. We got this cab. Who's talking about this cab?
I'm talking about the cab
today. Oh, take control, Brandon.
Yeah, you know, I'm like really trying to work on my leadership skills. So it's taking initiative. We are drinking a cab today that is actually from France called King Rabbit. It's a 2017.
We liked the label.
Yeah. It's a twisty cap too, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And so the way it describes this taste today, what we're drinking is it is intense, spicy aromas with full-bodied, elegant Cabernet.
Come on, elegant?
Let's see if I taste the elegance.
Cheers.
I know.
That was very clunky.
Here's to elegance.
Smells good. I'm so sorry for the people that had to listen to us sip all at the same time now. That felt weird for us, too.
Guys, I'm going to be honest. I don't mind it.
I don't hate it.
At all.
No, and neither do I. And it's $8.99
at your local Whole Foods. And if you don't have a local Whole Foods, sorry.
This is not bad.
It's really not bad.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Ooh.
Make sure we make a note of that.
Stock up on this one.
Yas King.
Hey, so check it out. Today,
yes, King.
Today, stop. We're talking about living in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now, look, before your ears ring off, living in the gray, what we mean by that is we're not saying that there is no absolute truth. What we are saying is that we have found that in our lives, we are more so in the gray areas of right and wrong than we are on an absolute side, because life has shown us that, at least for me personally, everything that I thought I knew, as I get older, I realize, man, I probably didn't have a handle on it. Mm. It just took a little bit of growing and wisdom and meeting other people to realize, man, I wasn't 100% right. And if I'm not 100% right, I am in the gray.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, go.
I'm sorry. I just
no. That was a gray area.
I
was
I didn't know if you were transitioning.
I could have been stopping.
It was a segue. I could jump in. I feel like it's almost like the older you get, sometimes the less you know. And I think for me, there are things that I do know. And we're not just going to talk about Christianity and faith today. Like, there are even just world ethics stuff that you think you know something, and then someone plays devil's advocate and is like, yeah, but what about this situation? And suddenly it's like, well, crap, I don't know. And so it's that feeling of, what do you do when you come to an area in life, whether it's your faith, a relationship, a situation, a dilemma, a crossroads, use the thesaurus for all the other verbs. But what do you do when you come to a gray area and you don't have a black and white answer? Like, is there some things that we can do? How do you find peace in that if there is no black and white? Like, how can we sit in gray and not feel that suffocating anxiety is almost the...
Yeah, and even more so in a world, depending on where you live, and by I mean live, I don't mean city, I mean like, if you live within the church walls, there is a lot of people who feel they have black and whites, and it's hella hard to be gray in a world that's black and white. If you're outside of the church, it's a little bit different, because I feel like most people do live in
not
the grays.
Not necessarily.
I just don't know if they impose it like they do in the church.
Yeah.
You feel?
Maybe just Australia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit different out here. I feel like in the world, I don't see anybody imposing...
They're black and white.
Yeah, I feel like there's a better...
Politics?
No, not even so politics. That's part of it. But I was saying, I think there's a quicker response to try and seek to understand rather than, I'm going to put you in this box.
Right.
And so...
For sure. Not for sure. But let's get into some games to kind of intro this.
Because I would say this. If you are someone that's like, oh, I have no gray area in my life, well, good for you. But most people are not living in black and white. Well, yes, actually, correct. And you're like, what does that actually feel like to live in gray? Well, do I have the game for you? If you're like, Elise, I would love to know. Exactly. I feel like I need like game show music. If you like need some ideas on how it feels to live in the gray, I would like to play a quick game of Would You Rather? Dun, dun, dun.
That's, yeah.
My friends have not seen these before, and I was like screenshotting them from different websites and was dying laughing.
These are very difficult. So the first, would you rather? Also, are we going to like answer all together?
No.
Should you like, we'll just take it one at a time?
One at a time. I mean, we're not all going to say it at the same time.
There's no clear answer here, people. No. We've already gotten into the gray. Okay. Would you rather have Cheeto fingers for the rest of your life? Or have a popcorn kernel stuck in the back of your throat for the rest of your life.
Cheeto fingers.
Cheeto fingers.
What?
Yeah.
But then.
Nah, I don't care. Nothing. People got to understand.
Really?
I'm going to be touching people.
I'm going to need you to know my culture is what it is.
All right.
Like, I walk around with a hot Cheeto bag on my hand usually at all times.
Manny?
Cheeto fingers. Yeah, Cheeto fingers.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I guess that was black and white. I think maybe just the visuals.
I don't know. I like lightweight got excited as soon as he said Cheeto fingers.
Yes, Cheetos. Like, where are they at?
I'm going to pick that. I didn't even know the second part.
Okay. Would you rather never have access to the internet or have Nicolas Cage always be within 1 meter of you at all times?
I would obviously have Nicolas Cage be.
I like Nick Cage.
Do you like him?
I enjoy all of National Treasure.
National Treasure. Snake Eyes was great.
I will pretend we're on a scavenger hunt every time.
Gone in 60 seconds.
Nicolas Cage, I'm so glad you're here.
Wait, what was that one movie? Anywhere. Was it Next with Jessica Biel?
Next.
That was a great film.
Great. I'm a Nick Cage fan.
Yeah, you know, I'd rather have Nick Cage being close to me than not have internet because I realize like how disconnected I'd be from
life.
Everything that's going on.
It's well, okay, we wouldn't be able to have this game going on right now.
If I can't double tap my friends, are they even my friends? You know what I mean?
If you can't Instagram the fact that you're with Nick Cage, then what is life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool. All right. Would you rather have permanent clown face or have permanent clown clothes?
Clown clothes, because I feel like I can make anything work.
Oh, my God. Well.
Saying, nigga, I look good in polka dots. Clothes. I look good in red.
You were wearing those samurai pants.
He was wearing his clown clothes today.
He literally had them on.
And I look good.
Yeah, I would probably say clown clothes, too. Because I'm like, you know, let's just swag this out one time. Who knows? That might start a trend.
And clowns have an array of outfits. They do bow ties. They do polka dots. They do, you know, they're all over the place.
Okay. Sometimes I don't like to wear makeup.
Clown face is very scary.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, good one, guys.
Give me a good one, at least.
We hope you're playing along with us. Okay. Would you rather have legs as long as your fingers or have fingers as long as your legs? What a visual.
Fingers as long as you're like. That's no good
now,
one.
This one's a good one.
That's no good one. There's no good answer.
That's what I'm saying. Now this is real. You're welcome. I was giving you some easy ones to start with. Give me a break.
Because legs as long as my finger is like no legs at all.
Yeah, you're just.
And fingers as long as my legs is way too much.
You can't even drive.
I can't do anything. There's no good look.
You got an answer.
You know what? Okay, I'm going to go with legs as long as my fingers. Because I've seen people successfully live out life with no legs.
Yep.
You know, and still get married and still whatever. Because I still have my third leg, correct? As long as I still have my third leg, then I'm good.
No, you had to trade that in for little legs.
I'll be hella buff.
Wait, what?
I'll be hella buff up top.
Wait, do his third leg match the littleness of the little legs?
Yeah. No, we don't want to do that.
I need an answer.
I gave you mine.
All right.
I'm probably going to go with the legs too, just because that would just be tough doing stuff with your hands.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can't.
You just be...
That's weird.
Like, langy, just... That's just that feels like Slender Man.
But it feels like a spider.
But also now you have 10 legs.
And then
so you just switch it and you use your legs for hand stuff and you use your hands for leg stuff.
And then you add on that the cheetah fingers and you're set for life.
I'm going to go legs for fingers.
Wow. Well,
you're weird.
Legs for fingers. Wow. Spidey.
Good luck.
Angela.
Good luck.
Would you rather lose the ability to lie or believe everything you're told?
Lose the ability to lie.
Lose the ability to lie.
Because I'm already pretty freaking honest.
True. That one? All right. Lose ability to lie. Would you rather swim everywhere or listen to Nickelback for 12 hours each day for the rest of your life?
Here's the thing. I don't understand the hatred for Nickelback.
I like
either.
Nickelback.
So, but what was the first option though?
Swim everywhere.
Oh,
Wait. Can I be a shark?
Baby shark, do 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 do.
I hate myself right now, but
me too.
I could be a shark, right? I would swim everywhere because then I would literally be Aquaman.
You can't be a shark. You can't just change what
you are. I would be
Aquaman.
If I have to swim everywhere, that means that
you're also not Aquaman. You're Manuel, and you either have to swim everywhere.
If I had to swim everywhere, that means I can swim really good.
My Cheeto fingers would disintegrate.
It's true. That takes care of that issue.
I'm going to say.
That means if I had to swim.
Nickelback.
Because that means this is saying that I won't drown, right? So if I had to go to New York, I would have to swim my butt around the United States, i.e., so I'm shape. Aquaman.
You've been so much.
I'm shape. Aquaman. Done.
I'm not a very good swimmer.
Same.
So I think the thought of swimming everywhere, I'm just kind of like, yeah, it's a
12 hours of Nickelback every day.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll rock with it. I'll just keep it on low volume. You
Wait,
know?
But okay. We are assuming that I'm, because I can't swim, so I'd be dead in the first day. I'm just
set an anxiety for many. Did. All right, we have to move on. Would you rather change sex every time you sneeze, not have sex, change sex every time you sneeze,
like go
or,
from a boy to a girl?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or not be able to tell the difference between a baby and a muffin.
What the hell?
Can you imagine? It got me so good.
What website
were
you reading?
It got me so good.
Not
what,
be able to tell the difference between a baby and a muffin.
What kind of hell of makery is that?
Oh, cutie little voodoo.
I
That's
actually...
a blueberry muffin, ma'am.
No, because if I took care of a muffin as good as a baby, I'd still be okay with that. Now, if I tried to eat the baby,
I would
that
love
would be a problem.
To pee standing up. So
every time
I'm
you sneeze,
say,
though?
Well, usually when I sneeze, there's at least seven of them in
a row. I haven't sneezed in a long time.
Yeah, I'm going to say change sex, because if I turn into a woman, it's over for you hoes. Like, straight
oh,
up.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to be out here doing me.
Mr. Steal
Understand
Your Man.
This.
Mr. Steal Your Man.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll steal your girl and steal your man. But
at the same time.
That's the last one.
Because Snapchat had done that filter where they could turn you into a female.
And you were fly?
Yeah, I was like, yo, I'm lightweight a baddie right now.
Actually, I saw that and I agreed.
I was like
yes.
What? Okay.
Wait, that
Manny
was the last one?
Really pretty, too. Yeah. Do you want another one?
Well, no, I'm going to transfer this into, because a lot of these probably people were like, these are funny. But
you're
getting into our topic of the gray.
Stand-up comedian.
We were talking about this behind scenes, BTS, and we had a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there at any point, and this is where you'll really find out if you're in the gray or not, is there at any point a justifiable murder?
Yes.
Explain.
Like, if you really don't like someone, I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh.
If like someone's really mean to you in high school and you think about it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I think, because we were talking about scenarios, I think that like, say someone like has a gun to your mom's head and he's like, I'm going to kill her if you don't shoot me. I'm going to kill him. Like, I'll need therapy afterwards, but there are situations that I think I'm going to kill someone. Oh my God. That's crazy to think though.
You really feel you would?
Well, if my mom, you just was with my mom.
I
you
know,
wouldn't do
I
that?
I know. It's just that
you would kill someone for my mom.
Look, has anybody here carried guns and lived that life?
Yeah, a bunch.
No.
I'm kidding.
I was a pretend thug.
Okay. Look, as a guy that did carry guns, the reason it takes a lot to pull the trigger. And I know a lot of my friends are like, I'd do it. If it was a situation, I would do it. I've carried guns before. I've pointed it at my people.
Dang, but it loaded?
It was
crap.
Very, very hard. And this was me trying to be thuggish and not liking people.
Dang.
I could not pull the trigger. It just wasn't in me. It literally wasn't. Now, granted, if there's an extenuating circumstance, I don't know what I would do.
I think adrenaline does a lot to you, though.
It could. It very well could. Or I may get scared and just bum rush them or throw the gun at them. You know, like, I don't know, because it literally does take a lot of like, I don't know what it's called to end a life. It takes a lot. And I can admit that. Like, I can genuinely say that because I have had a gun. It gives you crazy power. Like, you get power hungry, but at the end of the day, like, I wasn't even able to come close to pulling a trigger. So,
does self-defense count?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
That's what I mean. Like,
I would defend myself.
I would for sure kill someone for my mom. No offense, mom. Like, I hope I would. Please, if you're listening, don't call me and be like, why wouldn't you kill someone for me? But I think there are circumstances that whether it's self-defense or whatever, that you would think in the moment, this makes sense.
But so
it's
you're
not
saying
that it doesn't mess you up afterwards. Or
you're
that
saying that you would like to be able to pull the trigger, or are you saying that you for sure know
I'm
that
saying
you
it's
can
gray.
End a life?
I'm saying it's gray.
So you don't know. So that's where this
no.
goes.
Yeah.
If somebody broke into my house and I was home alone and I had a weapon, I would self-defense the heck out of that person. And if they died, they died. I would need therapy after.
Mm.
But at this point, it's you or me. Mm-hmm. And when I took my self-defense Krav Maga class, that's what they would tell us and they would teach us is if you get attacked and you have the opportunity to fight back, right? You have to assess the situation. Is this one where you keep fighting back or did you get some distance from the guy and you can run? If you can run, then run. But if you don't have any distance, then you fight and you finish the fight because if you don't, he will. So that's what I was taught in my self-defense class is you finish that fight.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I have paths to get out of the house if someone comes in. I have escape routes.
I have some too. Like if there was like ever a shooter, I'm like,
yeah. I have escape routes like just, before I get into a conflict. Well, because statistically proven, more guns are used against the owner than actually against the criminal. Mm. Because most people who have guns, A, don't go to ranges every day, do not practice on high pressure situations. They don't go to training. They're not like a cop who like you have to train in high pressure situations. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get a gun. Maybe you'll go to a gun range. Maybe you'll learn how to, you know, put the gun in. When it's going so fast, I mean, there's people that forget to take off the safety. There's people that, you know, can't load the gun because you tend to keep so it whatever. Much. You miss, especially if you're shooting a handgun in close quarters. It's like, it's very hard. That's why they say it's better to have a shotgun because at least the bullet spreads and you have more chances of whatever. Or
and
the sound of it.
That sound.
You know,
Brandon, what's,
if I had a gun, I would probably shoot up in the air about 15 times.
As much as I'd like to think it'd be, earlier I was joking around, I was like, oh man, if someone had a gun to my mom, they're getting smacked on sight. As much as I love to think that, it'd still be tough for me because I so value life and I'm probably a pacifist when it comes to most things in my life. but you know what? It'd be one of those things where, you know, on the outside looking in, we would say that murder's bad, but we make exceptions to that, taking another person's life. For example, war is one of those big exceptions. Mm-hmm. Well, it's because, hey, like if people don't feel bad for the lives that were taken out of ISIS because, you know, in most people's eyes, they're bad people. So their lives aren't as valuable because of how they've chosen to live their life, which is a little bit problematic when you get into it. But at the same time, murder can seem like something that's such a dark thing. Like, that's absolutely terrible. But in your situation, it's gray because you're like, oh, man, but this is somebody I really love. And if it's either your life that I have no attachment to, I don't know anything, or this person that I adore the most, I'm going to pick them over you every day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm valuing another life over the other. But in that, I'm taking another life. Yeah. And that's like such a tough thing because there's like so many other things like that that we think about that in our mind we think, oh, this is very like, this is wrong and this is very right. But in a different context or a different situation, those things don't seem as right or don't seem as wrong. And that's always the tough thing because I think kind of getting into this, being in a black and white mindset is so sexy to have because we know where to categorize things and we know where to place them. And we live in such a chaotic world and chaotic times right now. Yep. Like it feels like every day crazy stuff is happening. Just on the way over here, there's a huge fire in the hills of Glendale. And I'm seeing like all these flames in the hill and I'm like, oh my God, it's right behind a hospital. And I'm thinking about the hospital, I'm thinking all these people and I'm like, this is just such a crazy world we live in. And so having something that can keep you secure and stable in this crazy world and help make sense of the chaos is very much so black and white.
Right.
And we'll throw our entire lives into it. We'll fight for it to be black and white because we love boxes and we love labels. And so it's like, I want to know what's right and I want to know what's wrong, which I think is a solid intention. But because life is such a mystery to begin with, there's so many things we will never know. And even the stuff that we do know is going to come to an end at some point, right?
Or it's going to be contested because of life.
Right.
We're all like, example, tithing. The promise of tithe was always taught that test me and see if the windows of heaven are not opened up in my life.
Right.
I know a lot of poor tithers. Yeah. What do you do with that? Is God a liar? Or is our black and white situation not so black and white? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that I have a lot of thoughts on it. Well, I think that those kinds of things from God are promises, but they're invitational promises in a sense. So it's like there comes into human choice. So yes, you've chosen to tithe or you've chosen to be obedient and give back to God, all that kind of stuff. But
that is not a, again, a black and white, it's not a black and white thing that then like now I can go and spend the 90 on protein bars and not pay my rent. Like there are other factors that come into things of human choice. You don't just take away self-responsibility by saying, but that's the promise. That's like someone saying, I'm at a crossroads in my life and I don't know whether to become an actress or a lawyer. So I'm not going to make a decision and I'm going to sit at home every day because it's just so gray. Well, I think that so often we can dissolve ourselves with the responsibility to take control of our life and make decisions. And I think sometimes people are calling gray what is actually just indecision or lack of self-responsibility. And I wonder just how many times God is sitting up in heaven, down in heaven, around in heaven, whatever. Sitting in heaven, whatever. Saying like, hey, actually this isn't as gray as you think it is. I'd just like you to make a choice and I'm cool either way. I remember before I moved to LA, I was so confused. To me, it was like a gray area of like, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm meant to live in LA or stay in Australia. And literally this prophet chick, what is that? Vicky Simpson, I think her name is, came to our church and she was like, hey, there's a huge decision you have been wrestling over the last couple of months. God's saying, just make a decision and he's with you. And I was like, oh crap. And so for me, I just wonder if some of those things we have said are black and white, God's saying, hey, this is a like this, oh, like what is gray? God's like, actually that's just indecision and you've like dissolved yourself with the responsibility. I don't know.
It's good.
No, that could be 100% true for a lot of things, especially what you're talking about. But there are things like that verse. The reason I say it was black and white, because it's Old Testament. Old Testament was very much do this and this happens. Do this and this happens. You don't do this, this happens. Super black and white. But you carry over into the New Testament, and there's still a lot of gray. Like, why did Ananias and Sapphira get killed off of? Was that the right?
Yeah, segment? Ananias and Sapphira.
They got killed off of lying.
Yeah.
But then mad other niggas, like, they weren't the only liars. Why did they die? I still cannot figure that out. Healing. There's so many questions about healing.
Right.
Oh, it's about the faith of the person that's praying. Oh, it's about the faith of the person that's receiving. I remember when I worked at Chick-fil-A. Did I tell my Chick-fil-A story on this one?
I don't think so.
I worked at Chick-fil-A. Look, check, check, check. I was full of faith, right? The night before we had service, I had this girl that was in my human video group.
Hey. Human video.
She had a broken
leg. Hits me every time.
She had a broken leg, right? And I went to her and I said, I'm praying for you. God's going to heal you. Prayed for her. I was like, go to the doctor tomorrow. Your leg is healed.
He rips the cast off.
Dude, I did that one time.
No, legit. Look, she goes to the doctor. Leg is healed. No longer broken. Cast comes off.
Yes, Lord.
I'm hype. I'm like, healing is real.
I'm gonna pray for everybody on site.
I go to work the next day at Chick-fil-A. The guy has me go clean the main room, and it's packed. Little kid comes in a wheelchair.
Oh no, Manny.
I think
look at Brandon's feet.
I think I am on a roll. The Lord's gonna heal this guy. I walk up to this kid and whisper in his ear, I'm like, hey,
that's whack.
God wants
Rise
you
up and walk.
God wants you to walk.
Silver and gold have
Do I Do you
nine.
Mind if I pray for you? And I pray for this kid and that nigga does not get up.
Of course not.
He is in his wheelchair. And I went to the back, hella, because I did this in front of a packed house. Everyone, it was like at least 100
Why?
People in there. Because I had the faith. And I go to
did
the back.
Did you ask God if you should pray for him?
I just thought it was about the faith that I had.
Interesting.
Great. Because why can God walk around and his shadow heals people? You know what I'm saying? Why
God?
Do the disciples walked around and they said
because
that their
I
shadows
think
are healing
about
them?
I think like God is sovereign and there are things that we
Yeah,
won't
but did you know.
Know,
did you think that the disciples knew that their shadows were going to freaking heal people?
No.
They didn't. That's what I'm saying. They probably thought, oh, I saw Jesus pray for this person, so I'm going to go do it like Jesus did it. That's what I thought. I'm going to go pray for this person because Jesus prayed for people and he had enough faith and he told them get up and they did. So in my mind, I'm like, well, if Jesus is in me, I'm going to do this.
But
walk up to him and it
like,
didn't work.
My thing is like faith isn't a formula. So we as humans keep looking for the formula to anything. Therefore, like if someone's sick, I have faith, whatever we think that looks like. Because I think we all think that faith looks different, whether what we've learned, how we grew up, all the feels or whatever it is. if I see someone sick, have faith, do the prayer, say the things, they'll be healed. And God's like, well, did you ask me? And I'm not saying I have an answer, by the way. I freaking don't know why some people get healed.
But are we not taught God wants?
Yeah, God,
he wants.
He commands us to pray for the sick.
Why wouldn't he?
I don't know. All I'm saying is that sometimes people think they found the formula. And if I was God, I wouldn't heal someone that I think has found the formula and thought they were like legit.
But it's not about a formula. It was a legitimate faith. I healed one person and I thought, God, I'm like, God's going to use me to heal. Why wouldn't he want to heal?
I mean, I don't have an answer.
If this guy stood up in the middle of this Chick-fil-A from his freaking wheelchair, to God be the glory, everyone would freak the hell out.
Yeah.
And God would get the glory. That's why I did it. I wasn't doing it because I was like, oh, I'm going to look so cool. I literally just went up to his ear and I just thought it was going to happen. But it didn't work. And so I literally left that place in the gray. Comes to healing, just in the gray. Afraid to ever pray for anybody again.
Yeah, because it's this weird tension because you know that God is able to heal and you step out, you see it one time, but then you step out another time and he doesn't get healed. Mm-hmm. So it's the wrestling with, there are people who I can pray for who will never get healing. That's tough too when you understand God who is a healer. Mm-hmm. It's not just like what he does, it's like part of who he is, his nature is to heal. Mm-hmm. And so it's like living in that gray, it's like that's such a tension. And you have to like wrestle with it. And how long was it before you stepped out again and tried to pray for some for healing?
You know, I don't even know if I've fully recovered from it.
Dang.
Interesting.
Because I still pray for healing, but it's not the first thing that comes to mind.
Wow. It's not laying hands on a person. No,
and you know what? I thought about that. Why do I feel like I thought about it today during your dad's sermon? Hmm. I don't know if he asked for prayer for anything, but literally, it hit me that, man, my first thought is not to go to prayer for healing. You know? And that's really weird for me when it used to be. Because I'm like, well, I don't know the formula. I don't know if it's my faith or if it's the person praying for me faith. Right. Or I don't know the formula. So
I wonder if like the faith then is attached to an outcome. If it's like, and I know that sounds real churchy, and so I'm really trying not for it not to, but I think often I've had those same experiences where for me it was my marriage, and I specifically remember a night my ex was having a drink with, I think, someone, and like it was it one of the times. And I remember being on my face in our bedroom, like speaking in tongues, prophesying, crying my eyes out. And I don't remember, there have been few moments that I felt like I almost convinced heaven of something. I know that sounds weird, but like, have you ever had a moment where you're like, I literally felt something shift just then and I can't explain it. And he came home and apologized.
Whoa.
Thank you. Because that didn't happen. Mm. And I was like, oh crap. So then why? And then we broke up. We broke up before that, got back together, but then we ended up getting divorced. Why? Why did I go through all this? And yet I think the thing when I look back, and again, I'm not, the last thing we want to do is alienate people or make people feel in specific situations like we're trying to have an answer. That's literally the opposite of what we're talking about within the gray. But my experience is that I look back on that whole situation and what I learned was not attached to the outcome. Because I wonder if our marriage had survived, if I'd be who I am now. I know that sounds weird, and God's in the gray. Like, yes, the Bible says God hates divorce. So much of that context was because it victimized the women and that, like, all the surrounding context. But I get it. I hate divorce. Like, I didn't like getting divorced.
Right.
I don't get mad when people say that divorce is bad. Divorce was horrible. The things I learned from it and the ways that God drew me closer and the ways that I looked at myself, was able to pray, have been different, and yet I didn't get the answer that I thought I wanted. Now, I'm not saying that healing is necessarily the same thing. I'm just wondering if sometimes we attach our faith and the it turned out good or bad against the outcome that we got. If someone got healed, sure, it worked. If someone died, it didn't work.
Sure. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think if we can be honest, these things that, like you said, the faith with the outcome, it is a bill of goods I feel that we have been sold. We have been sold, if you tithe, you're going to be okay.
Yep.
We've 100% been sold that. Tithe or else you're stealing from God. Very, 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 step out in faith. God will meet you there. there's things that we have been sold, even outside of church, you know, there are things that we've been sold. Work hard and you'll become successful.
That's like the lies we believe kind of stuff.
There's a lot of people working hard. So then my question is this, at least in the church, being a part of the church, I've met a lot more people that need, they absolutely need it to be black and white, mm-hmm. because gray is way too scary.
It's way too uncomfortable.
It's way too scary. Mm. You know, like I was talking about it with you, Bobis, like when it comes to dating, okay, my other has to either be saved or not saved because it's easy. That way I know if he's on the same, and I'm not saying these are right or wrong. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying these are things that have to be real black and white with us. You know, they either have to love Jesus or not love Jesus. I remember when I was, you know, counseling a lot of my friends that I remember this one situation, this girl was dating this dude and he didn't love God. Mm. And I was like, that's wrong. That's wrong. You're unequally yoked. And I went in on her. Yo, them niggas are still married today and they both love Jesus. Mm. Now, when people come to me and they love the Lord and their other doesn't, I'm like, I'm not saying that it's the worst thing. I'm also saying it's probably not the best thing. Could he fall in love with Jesus? 1,000%. Could you fall out of love with Jesus? 1,000%. Is he worth the gamble? If he is, go for it. Before, it would have been like, if you go for it, you're going to ruin your life. But there's people that I've seen, and it's not like I recommend it, but they both ended up loving Jesus hardcore, and they're serving God right now, and they outlast people that got married and were both in the ministry. Mm. But so that messes with my black and white.
Here's what I would say, and I know I feel like I keep jumping in. Sorry, you're hearing a lot of my voice tonight. But I like it. I would say with that, though, I would step out and say I wouldn't recommend someone dating, like someone that's like on fire for Jesus or whatever we want to say with that. Like going after the call of God. Like for me, dating a non-Christian doesn't make sense just from a interests point of view and the time spent in different places. Now, I think that like in terms of that, like a lot of it comes down to motivation too. Why are you arguing that point? If you're arguing a point because you're scared of the gray, then that's one thing. If you're arguing a point because it's like, hey, I feel like this isn't going to be great for you, in that I feel like if you date this girl or this guy and you guys have two separate, completely separate belief systems, how do you ever build a family like that? How do you ever, like, where do you spend your time together? If you're at church every Sunday, if you're very involved in your community there, and this person's involved in their community, one eventually has to come to the other. Like we were talking about, I can't remember which episode it was, but like even when y'all's faith, you were married, but your faith started to like morph, you kind of became these new people, which marriage just does to people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if that didn't go along the journey, there would be a point where you'd be like, all right, what are we doing? Like, are you going to be in this new place with me, like in your own new place, and we find a bridge to each other? Or are we going to keep on these separate paths and drifting? Sure. And I feel like with that one, and I'm not saying it's black and white again, I'm just...
Well, that's precisely what I am saying. I'm saying I used to be, this is going to happen.
Like you're going to go to hell.
It's not going to work.
Right.
It will not work. Because the Bible says you cannot be unequally yoked. But then I've seen people who are in ministry, find themselves in ministry. Mm-hmm. That's where they met. Yeah. Divorced in 5 years.
Yeah.
Then people who are one saved and one not saved, mm-hmm. in love with Jesus, been married for 15 years and serving in the church.
There's
so
no
what
formula.
I'm saying is I will give you my best hypothesis.
Sure.
But I cannot tell you that dating that dude who doesn't love the Lord, he'll never love the Lord. Can't say it.
Yeah. Also, my gay uncles have been married for 35 years. So I'm just going to throw that one in there too.
Gay uncles married for 35 years.
That's dope.
So,
that's
I really mean. Dope.
And I don't know a lot of straight people married that. So that's, I mean.
Yeah. So the question is, I feel like for me, because I feel like this could be challenging for some people who might necessarily like, obviously I don't think anybody gets comfortable living in the gray, because it's not like there's just so much unknown. Yeah. There's mystery, it's tense, and again it's like it's a journey. And a little bit what you were saying earlier of like sometimes with the faith it's so based off an outcome that you forget on this is the journey. This is the process. That's what faith is. That's what your soul is on, your spirit is on. And like, and I think too, gray can serve us very well. How do you think it serves us well? I have some ideas, but I want to hear from you guys.
Why is
gray good for our lives? We're going to do it in the probably the category of our faith right now.
I feel like black and white is stagnant and gray feels like moving. Like, and if we're in black and white, we stay still.
Yeah.
I think God ever intended us to stay still.
That's good. So,
that's my insight. Lock it in.
I think gray gives us space to grow and evolve. Just like when you're a child, you do childlike things, then you get older and everything, child, teenage, early 20s. I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. So just like in creation, I'm given the space to evolve and grow. I think it's the same thing with the gray. The gray gives you space to grow.
I think for me, the gray has humbled me because I was so... I just thought I knew so much and I studied so hard to prove so many people wrong to only find out, nigga, you ain't right.
Who is you?
There's a lot of things that you don't know. And it just humbled me to where now I'm just like, the only thing I am sure of is that I'm not sure of anything.
Yeah.
What's your answer, Brandon?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. Yeah. I think the gray for me, it's important because it puts it in the perspective that I can rely less on what I can make sense of everything, and I have to trust more in the spirit that can guide me and lead me. For some people, they might label it as intuition. For me, adapting to the Christian faith and subscribing to that belief system, for me, it's the spirit of God. And one of his names is actually the spirit of truth. And I love it because Jesus is like, hey, I can only be with you guys for so long. But when I leave, I'm going to send somebody. And he's going to be the spirit of truth. And he's going to guide you. And he's going to lead you into truth. And it's funny because recently I've been having a conversation with people around me. I'm like, hey, what is the truth? Like, if you could define the truth, how would you define it? And I've gotten a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And like for me, one of the things that I'm going by is the truth represents what is real. And if there is ever a time that we need to know what's real, I feel like the real can only be discovered in the gray. Because that's the journey that you got to go on. And there's a spirit that's guiding you and leading you and teaching you and showing you. And I love what you were saying because the gray gives us space to explore those things.
Yeah.
And I feel like we talked a little bit about this on, I feel like I did on Liza Church Sold You Part 1. And I was just talking about how for me, doubt was one of those things that has made my faith in God a lot more layered and textured. There's more a richness to it. There's a depth to it because I've allowed myself to go outside the boxes of black and white, the us versus them, the right versus wrong, and go on this journey. I even look at like Jesus in the Bible. I love him because he's like, he's so gangster because he's always like, in a way, he's always making it hard for people to follow him. Like he's such an elusive lover. And like, even I'm just thinking about the passage when he had just gotten resurrected. Disciples go to try and find him. They don't find him. Mary goes to find him. And he tells her, he says, hey, who are you looking for? She at first doesn't realize that it's him. And then as she's talking, she realizes, oh my God, it is him. And he goes, hey, don't cling to me. And I think what he was saying was like, hey, you've known me in a way.
Yeah.
You've understood me in this box. Yeah. But you can't hold on to the box for much longer because I'm going somewhere. And if you want to stay there, you can, but just understand you're not going to be clinging to anything. And there's so many people that are living in this black and white space of what they believed for so long. And it's like, and again, I'm not talking about foundational beliefs. I'm not talking about like, hey, I believe God is good. I believe God loves me. I'm talking about other stuff. Like you got a revelation 20 years ago, and that's still the thing that you're holding on to today. And I'm like, hey, but what is the spirit doing now? Because the spirit is always dynamic. It's moving. There's always forward motion. And so I'm saying, are you clinging on to what that box that you could put him in and understand him in? Or is there something new that's free flowing and moving forward? And are you okay with going forward, even though you might not know? And to me, that's where it comes down to of like, faith is less about what you think you believe, and it is more about who you trust in. That's really what faith is, because like I realize the more that I know now, the more I don't know actually. And so I'm just like, I'm living in this gray and a tension and a lot of stuff. And again, not my core foundational beliefs. Like I believe God is good. I believe he loves me. I believe he has a plan for me. I believe he's faithful. That's pretty much my foundational beliefs right there. And so from that, there's a lot of other stuff that I don't know. And I guess like I'm okay, but I'm not okay with it because I want to know.
Right.
But at the same time too, I realize that I might not ever know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of weird to say too, because there's a limit to what I can't understand. And I guess my rational mind always tries to make sense of everything because it makes me feel comfortable like I know. And sometimes that's a little bit of that God complex coming out in me, like I got the answers.
Yeah.
But the truth is, I don't know. And I think I wish I would hear a lot more preachers say that.
Oh, for sure. I would love pastors, to hear a lot more Christians say that.
But like, yo, I don't know. Honestly, that's one of the most powerful things that I have seen in my last few years of pastoring people. That has been the most shocking and freeing answer for people when they're coming to talk to me about and getting counsel. It's like, honestly, I don't know, bro. But I'll walk with you on this process. And I can't tell you how many people are like, oh my God, you're the first pastor I've ever heard say that to me in counseling. Because most pastors, we love to have the answer because we love to play God.
Yeah.
And we like to know we have the answers. And the truth is we don't have the answer.
Well, we want to feel safe. It all comes down to that. Like if you tell me, what's right and what's wrong, if you give me a black and a white, then I can measure my life up and know that I'm good.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm doing it right, as opposed to, am I doing it right? I'm not okay with knowing that, because then I actually have to wrestle with the idea, does God love an actual sinner? Not somebody who's always doing it right. I look at scriptures like I was talking to your mom, Bo Beast, and I was like, I guarantee you, if I was on stage and I was still doing Christian music, Christian rap, right? And I told him, hey, you guys, I was just outside and I just bought this girl for 50 bucks.
You had this conversation with my mom?
Yeah.
Cool.
Bought this girl for 50 bucks because God told me I needed to marry her. This hooker. She's a hooker. She let me buy her for 50 bucks. They would kick me off of that stage so fast.
Yeah, you'd be crucified.
Yeah, she's going to come up here and pray
for you.
And she
would come off in her hooker outfit.
Sounds like a Bible story.
Just straight whatever. And then when I think about Hosea, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver. He bought her for 15 shekels of silver, and he got with the girl that God told him to get with. And as much as we love the Bible, there is no way in hell anybody in America will let whoever that was on stage stay on stage. No one could understand it. But when I read scriptures like that, and like I brought up earlier about the lying, why did they got killed? Like I cannot come to an answer. And it's one of those ones where I just look up and be like, shout out to John Bellion for his song, Maybe I Don't Know.
Shout out, John Bellion.
Maybe I Don't Know. Because his hook is literally, maybe I don't know. And maybe that's okay. Yeah. You know? And maybe that's okay that I don't know. Every time I hear that song, he ministers to me so much. Of like, damn, John, you with it right now. I don't know.
Go ahead.
No, I just think it's so interesting how many conversations, debates, fights we have with each other. Not us, but like our world, to try and find some black and white, and maybe there isn't any.
Well, you fear what you don't know.
You fear it. And I think so often, and what we're really talking about is like, I'm trying to find my black and white. Because really, I wonder if God told me what the answers were to my questions and they weren't what made me comfortable. If I'd be like, oh, no, it's still gray. It's still gray. Still gray. And God's like, oh, okay. Like, I wonder how much God's protecting us from by keeping us in the gray sometimes because we can't handle it. And that goes over so many issues in our world. Phobias, racism, sexism, all of the things that we feel comfortable finding our identity in, I wonder how much less black and white it is like to God, but he's like, oh, that's cool. I'll let you keep having your own like little comfort circle or like your comfort zone. When God's been trying to tear that down the whole time. Someone said to me the other day, like, I'm trying to turn my comfort zone into a construction zone. Super corny. But I was also like, man, that's kind of what black and white to gray is. It's going like, I get that you've been comfortable in your black and white. Can you trust in a God that wants you to have a life of construction that never will be finished until you reach, you meet him face to face?
Mm. Wow. Okay, but... Mm-hmm. Let's ask this.
No, I don't know the answer, but yes, keep going.
Bob the Builder, that bitch.
Do you have black and whites?
Yeah, I think that for me, like all what Brandon said, I agree.
I want to hear from everyone.
I believe that Jesus died, that he lived on earth, that he died, and that he rose again. And in doing that, he was taking the, fulfilling the Old Testament, fulfilling the law, and taking the price for me that I could never pay so that I didn't have to be separate and not have a relationship with him. I believe that.
Black and white, and that will never be gray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, but for me, it's like, yes, it's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I have a relationship with God.
Yep.
Like, that's, yeah. I feel like you're looking at me like...
No.
Brandon's looking at me over there. No, but for me, it's like...
That's good. That's your black and white. You found that to be true.
Yeah, but it's that, like, I believe that God is sovereign. I believe that he loves me. I believe that he is, I like that song that I'm so over, but like a good father.
Mm-hmm.
And because I have an amazing relationship with my earthly dad, for me, that's a very, in a sense, in scary situations, it's a very safe concept for me. That no matter what else is going on, I do believe I have a stronger identity as a woman than a lot of people have, because I understand how to be a daughter and I believe that he's a good father. I also believe that I don't understand everything, but at the end of the day, I can say like, I don't need to, because dad will figure it out. I believe that.
So that's your one black and white.
Yeah.
What about you?
Essay.
Yeah. Do you have any?
I feel like I used to have a lot. But even... I'm constantly evolving and processing, and something that was a black and white for me even yesterday may not be today. Like, for instance, cheating, right? There's a husband and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say the husband cheated on the wife. If I were to ever hear somebody say, well, what'd you do to make him cheat? I would throw all the F-bombs at that person and be like, no. That guy made his own decisions. She didn't do nothing to make him cheat. He did. That's his own choice. He did that. And then I start thinking about all of the things that can happen in the gray. Like, we don't know. What if he was begging her for more time, more let's do date nights. Let's spend some more time connecting. We don't have sex enough. We don't this and that. And maybe she was like, no, I'm not interested. I don't want to. And maybe she was just having her own friends like at work or whatever and completely neglected him, when maybe he was very clear and communicating what he needed and wanted from his wife. And maybe she was like, no, I'm not interested. And then he went and found it somewhere else. Do I still feel the same way that like, nope, he's bad. He shouldn't have done that. That was his choice. She didn't make him do nothing. Well, sure. She didn't make him do it, but it's kind of a gray situation to me. And if you would have asked me this a year ago, I would have been very black and white. Nope. You cheat. That's on you. Period. But I don't know. Mm. And don't take this as a free pass.
No, we already talked about this. We had a very real conversation about this. Like, real, real conversation.
So I don't know what, like, I can say my black and white is this. But honestly, I'm at a place where a lot of my black and whites have shifted into the gray. And I would land on God loves me and he loves all people. Mm. That's really, like, my only black and white.
I asked the question because I'm literally, as I'm listening, I was listening to you talk, Bobies. I was like, man, do I have black and whites? And I 100% do. Besides knowing that God is real, because ever since I started believing in this invisible God, my life has been not perfect, but it's had trajectory and purpose, and I know he's real. Beyond that, I have two sure black and whites. One, it's always better to be slow to speak and quick to listen. 1,000%, that'll never change. I need to learn, and that's just
what
Bible.
What if someone has like a gun to someone's head?
Slow to speak, quick to listen.
Okay, sorry.
And that's just the black and white that I feel like I need to live in. And the other one would be choose love first. I feel if I choose love first, then all my decisions that come after that tend to be the right ones. It happened today. I wanted to choose anger.
He's talking about me. He was angry at me in case everybody needed some clarity. Anger, but black and white people?
No, but when you choose love, like at the end of the day, like there's something that in me that felt like I chose right. Because love means that I'm going to think about the other person before myself. It's the golden rule. How would you want to be treated? I would always want people to treat me with love first. Now, love ranges in its action. Sometimes there's tough love. Sometimes there's quiet love. Sometimes there's, you know. But it's still love none the same, because the intent is I want the best for you. So to me, love first. Not judgment, not freaking whatever, love. And then be slow to speak, quick to listen. Those are my two black and whites that I for sure know.
That's good. I'd say, love is one of mine too. As I just think about, like, it doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter, especially in the church, how many spiritual gifts you have. And if you're able to do all these things and pray for the sick and prophesy, like, if you don't got love, you're nothing. And I just think about that. Like, I even think of, as overquoted as it is, and as underappreciated and underwalked as it is, 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. I could just stop right there and already say I'm struggling with love. I'm struggling with patience, and I'm struggling to be kind at times. And I think about all the other things. It says it's slow to anger. Man. Oh, what else does love do? Love is patient, love is kind, slow
boast.
To anger.
It doesn't keep
record of wrong. It is not self-seeking. It does not rejoice when bad is happening in other people's lives.
You're like, oh my God. About the amount of Christians that sound off when somebody falls.
Oh, man.
That sounds off
that
on
are
people.
Literally rejoicing in it. And you're like, yo, that is the exact opposite of what you feel like you are subscribing to, calling yourself a Christ follower. And so for me, I'm like, love, as Paul would say it, is the most excellent way. Like, you can pray for the sick and you can preach the roof off buildings, but let me tell you about more excellent way. That's a segue into talking about love. So to me, that's like, that's a black and white. Like, love is the most excellent way. Love wins at the end of the day.
Hey, and I'm with you on that. And look, I when I was confronted once with this person who came after me online and was just kind of dissing the way I was doing life, not loving at all, showing all kinds of hate. And I asked them, I was like, hey, man, I was just curious. This is not like me trying to be a jerk, but just how many people have you won to the Lord recently? Like, I just really want to know. And he never wrote me back. He answered every single other message except for that one. And I don't want to judge him and say that he hasn't. I just thought it was ironic that he answered every single, we went back and forth for a lot. And he couldn't answer me, how many people have you loved into the kingdom? Like, how many people have, because of how you're treating me right now? I'm just curious. And he couldn't answer. And then I think about us in our grayness, and I think we're not perfect. I'm sure there's probably 1,000 things we get wrong on this podcast. I'm sure there's theologians like, you guys suck at the Bible.
Oh, for sure.
Or I'm sure there's, you know, communicators that are like, you guys could be so much better.
Sure.
This is where I land. Got a letter from this dude. He said,
to us?
To us. Just keep being real and authentic. I found your podcast at a season in life that I needed it. I actually went and visited with the pastor of the church I attended and grew up in for 33 years, minus a few years serving in the Marine Corps, that turned its back on me. And people said horrible things. And I decided to, when I decided to leave my toxic marriage, we had a great conversation, and I was able to change my heart about the church because of this podcast. Keep it up. Also, I've enjoyed the Oasis Church via podcast once I finish the season. Looking forward to season two. That to me is like, and all we do is talk about the gray. We don't profess to know anything. The only thing that we profess to know is our own hearts, our attempts at loving one another, and our attempts at loving people. And we're beyond grateful that you guys would listen and entertain the thoughts that we have, that we're just trying to figure it out like y'all are trying to figure it out. There's no one on this panel that thinks, man, we got it. And you'll never hear us saying that. But it's messages like these that really help us to see that sometimes this toil with the gray finds other people that are in the same place. And they end up finding a little bit more black and white in their life.
Yeah.
Like this guy who found forgiveness in a church that just bashed him. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's great.
We love you guys, man.
Mm-hmm.
We're so grateful. If you are watching us via YouTube,
hi.
Me and Bobis are wearing the same shirt. This is a Brandon Smith Shout and out. Maddie Smith shirt, Mr. and Mrs. Smith,
yeah.
that you can find Saints. At thesaintslabel.com. Please check it out. And this little wine that we got also, if you guys want to check it's that out one. Too. It was good for $8, right, Queen?
Mm-hmm. $8.99.
Elegance.
King Rabbit.
Hey, man. And of course, with this podcast, I'm also releasing a song. Every episode is going to have a song that goes with it. Soundtrack for your life. Hopefully you dig it. Just trying to reemphasize this message that we're giving. So go and download that too.
I am releasing a spiritual dance.
She has a new CD coming out in sign language.
What was that thing called that you're a part of? What was that thing called that you're a part of?
Human videos.
I'm also releasing human video.
Jazzercise about athleisure line.
The gray.
Bobis is releasing a sign language CD. It's
Can't
amazing.
Wait. It's really anointed.
I will release another video of Bonzo.
I am releasing a yoga class. So namaste.
Namaste. Hey, guys, we pray that you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. We love you.
Cheers.
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 On my yellow bike, we did things I never thought that I'd do in my life. Breathing while your daughter in the next room sleeping quiet. Damn, I feel so wrong for that, but I'll be back tonight. Cause we got appetites, yeah.
Church boy in a strip club, wasn't looking for no real love. I just wanted some distraction, yeah. Time for some action. Then I messed around and fell in love with Stacy. Had a body that could drive a nigga crazy. Dirty dancing, you could say that she was Swayze. And she whispered in my ear, you my baby. Never thought I'd turn a stripper to my girlfriend. Little nigga tryna front, he not a virgin. It's just crazy looking back what I went through. Cause she was 25, I was starting high school. I was
on my yellow bike. We did things I never thought that I'd do in my life. Breathing while your daughter in the next room sleeping quiet. Damn, I feel so wrong for that, but I'll be back tonight. Cause we got appetites, yeah.
On my yellow bike, we did things that never thought that I'd do in my life.
Church boy in a church pew, flashing back to being with you, yeah. Man, I can't even focus. I think the devil may have taught you. Mr. Running got addicted to your perfume. Every other day we did it in the bathroom. Drug finger, you had me having dreams about all these evil things that you had me doing to you. I'm like, wait, girl, now you texting me late. Saying you were fixed, had me thinking that we were straight. Every time I nutted, repeated the same mistake. I'd have stayed away if I knew you were playing games. How the hell am I to tell mama the plans change? A little nigga got him a little boy on the way. Damn, I call you later, the usher passing the play. Everything inside me is dying to run away. Oh,
I do in my life. Breathing while your daughter in the next room sleeping quiet. Damn, I feel so wrong for that, but I'll be back tonight. Cause we got appetites, yeah. On my control your appetite. Cause we made love the first night. Oh, can't control your appetite. I just loved it all night. I'm not sorry. We got appetites and they got too strong for you. Not sorry. Even though we did some things we shouldn't do, I'm not sorry. Girl, I never thought that rain could feel so good. Not sorry. Oh, but baby, you're sorry. Baby, you're sorry.
I ain't heard from you in about a minute. You ain't even call a nigga, tell me we were finished. I assume you died and maybe handling your business. Maybe I imagine all these things is just a figment. No wonder everybody always thinking I'm indifferent. It's because my position on sex is really just positions. Intuitions of Marley being forced into decisions. Had me grown up too fast, I'm a product of the system. Don't get me wrong, man, I am not a victim. Little niggas bagging all the tricks is like a mission. I thought I was fine to my pops and my admission. Will help these little niggas if I hop on my confession. Sunday morning came, fear became my opposition. I gathered up my thoughts, man, I had it, they were missing. Walked up to the mic like I was heading off the prison. Then I opened up my eyes, I could see they wanna listen.
Ha ha ha.